Chapter 10. No food, no clothes. Meanwhile in Venice at Petruchio's house, Caterina was begging Grumio to give her some food.
Please, Grumio, bring me something to eat. Any food. I don't care what it is,
cried Caterina.
Would you like calf's foot?
Replied Grumio, temptingly.
Oh, yes, that would be very good. Please let me have some right away,
begged Caterina.
Now, on second thoughts, I'm afraid it would be bad for your temper,
he went on.
How about a nice, fat, boiled tripe?
Fine, good, Grumio. Bring some for me,
she replied. But Grumio was following Petruchio's instructions and knew he was not allowed to give her anything.
I'm not sure about the tripe, my lady. Maybe that would be bad for you too. What about some beef and mustard?
Yes, I love beef and mustard,
said Caterina desperately.
But perhaps the mustard is a little too hot for you,
replied Grumio, teasing her.
Well, then I'll have the beef without the mustard,
cried Caterina impatiently.
My lady, I cannot serve beef without mustard. How about just mustard?
He asked. Hearing that, Caterina lost her temper and hit Grumio hard.
You are playing games with me and tempting me with words. Go away!
And she sat down miserably. Petruchio and Hortensio entered the room with a large plate of meat.
Cheer up, Kate,
said Petruchio.
Look how good I am to you. I have cooked some meat and brought it to you. You should thank me for it.
Caterina looked at him sullenly and did not reply.
What? Not a word?
Cried Petruchio.
Then I'll take it away again.
No,
said Caterina.
Leave it there. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
When she wasn't looking, Petruchio whispered to Hortensio to eat all the meat as quickly as he could when they all sat down to dine together. Caterina tried to eat some, but she wasn't quick enough. And soon Hortensio had finished all the delicious beef before she had even eaten two mouthfuls. Petruchio then informed Caterina that they were going to visit her father's house soon and that she had to finish her meal quickly as there was a tailor waiting to see her.
Come in, tailor, and bring the haberdasher with you. Let us see what you have brought to show us,
ordered Petruchio. The haberdasher brought in a new cap for Caterina, and the tailor brought in a beautiful gown. Here is the cap you ordered, sir, said the haberdasher proudly. But Petruchio jumped to his feet and cried,
What? It looks like a porridge bowl. It's so small, it looks like a toy.
He criticized the cap in every detail, even though there was nothing wrong with it. Caterina told Petruchio that she liked it and thought it was very fashionable. But her husband ignored her and, turning next to the tailor, said,
Where is the gown?
The tailor came forward, holding a beautiful, rich dress in his arms.
Oh, God!
Shouted Petruchio in horror.
What kind of fancy dress costume is this? The sleeve looks like a cannon, and it's cut up like an apple tart. It looks like a barber's pole. What in the devil's name do you call this, Mr. Taylor?
The tailor was puzzled and replied, saying he had followed his instructions and the current fashion. Caterina insisted that she liked the gown and complained to Petruchio that he was trying to make a puppet out of her, but he was not listening. He wanted to know what instructions Grumio had given the tailor about the design of the dress. Grumio then began to argue with the tailor about what he had said, and finally Petruchio ordered the tailor to take the gown back. He whispered to Hortensio to go and pay the tailor secretly for his fine work. Then, turning back to Caterina, he said,
Come, my Kate, we will go to your father's house in our everyday clothes. It is the mind that makes the body rich.
Caterina was not pleased at the idea of arriving at her father's house as a new bride without any finery, but they set off for Padua as her husband wished.